Father, we bless you and thank you for this service today. We thank you especially for these children that we will bring before you, these parents and grandparents that we will bring before you. Father, we thank you for all that's done. May it be to your glory and honor today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to open up the Word here. For a number of weeks, we've been talking about love, love of God. We've been really pointing out differences between divine love or God's kind of love or agape love and human love. And human love and its shortcomings, yes. Right? Human love has shortcomings. The standard of love is as Jesus loved. The standard of love is the love of God. We are required to love with God's love, not human love. We know that faith comes by hearing, but faith works by love. So whenever we hear the word, we have an opportunity for faith. Faith comes. Whether you do anything with it after it comes is up to you. But faith operates or works by love. If one fails to love, one fails to operate by faith or in faith. And we can say, I'm believing God to heal my body, meet my needs, and so on. But if we're not operating in love, faith comes, but it's not functioning. Faith is the vehicle. It's the chassis, it's the vehicle, it's the car that you can get in and can take you somewhere, but it's love that's the power plant. Love is the engine. Love is the motor. Maybe you've never done this, but we've done some engine swaps and repairs and different things that we've had, and you can have a pickup truck with no engine in it. How much work is it going to do? None. So for some folk, you know, they have faith, it has come, but there's no power driving it. We understand if we don't walk in love towards others, faith is not working. A lot of people, the reason that they're not receiving the result, the harvest of faith, it's their love walk. They're having trouble there. So, you know, it may be healing in the body or anything, really. Brother Hagin used to say this. He would say, whenever symptoms come in my body, first thing I would do is check my love walk. And he also talked about his confessions of faith. Before he would do his confessions of faith, he checks, how's his love walk? Lord, is there something where I've stepped out of love? And if he stepped out of love, he said, I depend more on my love walk than I do on faith in the Word to maintain his health and his well-being. This love walk is extremely important. And again, not just, oh, I think I'm doing pretty good comparing to someone else. No, your standard of comparison is Jesus himself. Well, nobody can meet that standard. Well, with the love of God that's been put in you, you can. I'm not saying everybody has. I'm not saying I have. But you can. We can. It's really important how we treat others, how we treat ourselves even. There's really probably three parts. Walking in love towards others, walking in love towards God, loving God the way he says to love him. And this one is what we've been on here recently, receiving the love of God the way he ministers it out. And when we get in this area, there are a good number of people that I've run into through the years that don't feel worthy of the love of God, don't know how to receive the love of God, don't understand the love of God that has no limits and so on. And they don't receive the blessings of God because they don't understand how he loves them or don't have a revelation of that, maybe is how you might say it. Among other things, that happened in here last Sunday as we were teaching on the faithfulness of God to always receive his word. I got feedback from a number of people. The light came on. He will always keep his word. He will always keep his word. Remember particularly that scripture, if we are faithless, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Doesn't matter if I messed up or I was doing good and then, you have to understand the love of God surpasses even our blunders and our faithlessness. And what blessings he's promised no matter what. And what he's promised and what he said, he will perform His word. We struggle with God blessing us, knowing us. No one knows you like you know you.
That's right.
All your shortcomings and your weaknesses and the thoughts you had, I want to reach out and just slap her. Right?
Yeah.
And if you don't do it and you don't say it, I walked in love pretty good. Yeah. But Jesus talked about having murder in the heart.
Yeah.
Right? So you know that. Nobody else knows that, but you know that. And then when God wants to bless you, has already sent blessing your way, it's already yours, there's trouble receiving the blessings of God when you don't understand or don't have that revelation of His love to you, no matter what. I mean, Paul called himself chief among sinners. He talked about how unworthy he was. But to see him, his writings, he knew the unlimited love of God was all over him and belonged to him. Receiving the love of God. If you are having any struggle receiving the love of God, receiving the blessings He promised, it will affect your faith and you'll shrink back. Some people will say it this way, and it's right. If you can't see yourself victorious in that situation, you won't have it. If you can see it, you can have it. And for a lot of folk, you can only see yourself blessed to a point. I won't ask for hands, but I know every one of us, there's a point where you just can't see beyond. And we may be at different places on that point. Well, God could bless me to here, and I can believe for that. But beyond that, well, we need to grow in love, greater revelation of His love and what He has desired to pour out on us. And you start looking at the Scriptures. It's God who gives you the power to gain wealth. Well, I don't know about wealth. I just pay my bills. A lot of folk are limited right there because they don't see the love of God to increase them beyond that point. I'm one of them, and I'm growing. And I had to grow, or I wouldn't see Pastor Sandy improving. I have to see the impossible as possible. So do you. Maybe a different category, same thing. Can you see your impossible situation as resolved already in God? There's already an answer. And if you'll get resolved on that, then time is not that much of a factor. When? You know, you last a couple of weeks and you tire out. How about, no, you keep going. And you keep going. And when you know the love of God and you know the faithfulness of God, you can be like Abraham, 25 years waiting on that son. That's what I'm doing. I'm plowing ahead, persevering. And Sandy is showing up more and more and more. You should see her both hands. She can feed herself both hands now, use a fork, turn it over, stab something, put it in her mouth. And she's doing things with her arms and hands now that she couldn't before. If you ask her, she'll tell you she can walk. I said, show me. And she's got that right leg going like that, you know. So what about the other one? And it's been weeks. I've never seen no movement out of that left leg. Well, last night I did. Last night I did. That left knee started coming up, started moving. That's the love of God. Now, if I were still trying to obtain or earn the love of God, I'd be missing the mark. As I shared at the beginning after praise and worship, this all was done in a couple of minutes at the beginning. But I have to, by faith, walk in revelation of His love. He said, I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. And if He said it, He will do it.
Amen.
As long as we don't quit. Amen. I have to respond to that love in full faith and confidence in Him. And if I question that love at all or the limits of that love, I will not be strong in faith, reaching out for the blessing that He already gave me.
Amen.
You ever have this thought? Well, that would just be too much to ask. You ever have somebody, hey, I'm going to buy you dinner tonight, you know? And you go out to the restaurant and you start looking at the prices and you start figuring, what am I comfortable asking for here?
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're doing with God. We're looking at the menu, and we're looking at the prices, and we have places where we think that is too much to ask. But if He gave the Lord Jesus already, while we were yet sinners, how much more would He give us anything we need, even what we desire? Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter, the 13th verse. It says, He has, that's past tense, isn't it? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. You might understand that as authority, that word power. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Other translations will say translated. The word is to be understood as transferred. Maybe you've worked somewhere and they transferred you to a new department, took you out of one and put you in a new department. So here we see Jesus has taken us, delivered us from the authority of one kingdom, one realm, and transferred us into another kingdom, another realm. That kingdom is called the Son of His love. We've been transferred. You've been transferred. When was that done? Somebody tell me, when was that done? Oh, you think it's a trick question. Well, you could make a case for when Christ died and was resurrected, it was done then. You could make a case for when I was born again, it was done then. Either of those would be an answer I wouldn't fuss over or fight. Either way, was it done?
Yes.
Was it done for you?
Yes.
Amen. It's been done. Amen. You are citizen. You are member. You are in a new kingdom. You are in a new realm. When you're in a new kingdom, now we don't think kingdom very much, you know. Not that many kings around the earth. And in places where they are kings, some of them it's more ceremonial than it, like it used to be. But it used to be a king was absolute authority. You know, they didn't even need laws. The king did what he wanted to do, and the king made the laws, and he made the rules. And he could do whatever he wants. And we've moved to a situation more of we're ruled by laws. You can make a case we're losing some of that. But anyway, when there's a kingdom, there is a set of laws or principles, or there's a king, and that's how it works. There's the ways of the king. There's the ways of the realm, the ways of the dominion. So we are subject to the laws, the precepts, the rules, the ways of the kingdom. I'm going to shorten it, of the kingdom of love. We're to live by the laws of love, the ways of love. In this kingdom, with Jesus being the king, everything works by love. It was love that caused Him to pay the price necessary to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom. So we're no longer ruled by the limits of the other kingdom. In the other kingdom, in the realm of darkness, that is the realm where you love somebody according to your ability. That was the way. That's how it worked. You did the best you could. You even see that reflected in Old Covenant. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That was how it worked. But there's a new way. Just saying one thing, it tells the whole story. Human love quits. And you have people who say, I fell out of love. You know, I fell in love, fell out of love. Well, human love is extremely flawed. And I've always marveled, if you listen to music in almost any genre, country music as much as any other, most of the songs are about failed relationships. Not about successful relationships, but failed relationships. And even, boy, everything is all about Taylor Swift these days. You know, she's become a goddess in this world, all about Taylor Swift. And one of the things she's famous for, if she dates a guy for a little while, something will happen and she'll write a song about him, tearing him to shreds. So most guys won't go anywhere near her because they don't want to be the subject of the next song. You know, that seems to be what she's famous for. And she was the one who said her favorite subject for a song when she writes is, I had to look up the word, I didn't know what it meant, but unrequited love. It's her favorite subject. Unrequited means it's not responsive. You love somebody, they don't love you back. Well, God could write a song about that, right? But that's her favorite subject. That tells you something about how limited and flawed human beings are in their love walk towards other people. But we're transferred out, we're conveyed out from the limitations of human love, and we're transferred over into divine love. The love that never quits, that has no boundaries. Now, I maybe better modify that when I say that. God has boundaries. Scriptures talk about whom the Lord loves, he chastens, just as a parent would a child as well. So in that sense, there's boundaries. But there's nothing you could ever do that would cause God to not love you. We talked about this in the past. He could be displeased. Yeah? God could be displeased. And when we displease God, it interrupts blessing. Our failure to walk in love towards God causes a pause in the effectiveness of faith and causes an interruption to blessing. So we are no longer subject to the laws of human love, but we are subject to, or said another way, we operate by the ways of God. We operate by the love of God. We are subjects of love, and we're to exude love. Amen. You might think of it this way, kind of like a sponge or a dishcloth or something. It can become saturated. Let's say a sponge. No matter what kind of pressure, from what angle or what object, however you put pressure on a saturated sponge, saturated with water, water comes out. We're to be so saturated with the love of God that no matter what pokes us, what comes out is love. Amen. It's not something we're working on. I'm working on it. I've said that myself. You know, I'm working on my love walk. I'm working on it. It's not something you work on. It's something you cooperate with. It's something that's in you that you allow to come out and up. Now, I've been trying to make sure. I don't like that word, trying. I've been making sure my faith is working. I'll say it that way. And I know my love walk's really important to that. Sometimes all you're hearing is what I'm reviewing myself in my own heart and applying to my own life, and I come and share it with y'all. I see where something happens, and a bit of pause is necessary, and a little bit of searching the inside, how do I respond? If we don't do that, the wrong thing will come out. Yeah. And sometimes the best thing to do is say nothing. Absolutely not. Just don't say anything. My daddy used to always say when we were growing up, you know, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. So a pause may be necessary. So we're not working on it. We have it. It's not something we're working on. It's something we've been transferred into. We are in a new realm. You're in a new kingdom. And in this new kingdom, it does not work like the old kingdom. And if you want the blessings of this realm, of this kingdom, operate by the ways of this kingdom. The law governing God's realm is love. I think I mentioned this already. We'll just take a quick look at it here again. John 13:34, Jesus speaking says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So here is how it works. Here is the standard. Here is how these things operate. We love one another as Jesus loved us. I notice how many times Scripture says that Jesus, seeing a particular need, a healing, a widow whose son was dead, so she would have no family now. He's moved with compassion, is what it says. More than once. Jesus, being moved with compassion, healed their sick. And I've just determined in my own heart, set my own heart, I need to be always ready to be moved by compassion. What would compassion do? How would that move? We had occasion, end of last week, we had someone come to the building while I was here, just asking and saying, hey, we know we don't go to the church here, but they had a family member that passed away, and they just need a site where they can gather some people, hold a memorial, and so on. And we've always said no to those situations. Usually it's not only a lot of work, and they trash out your building, and there's a variety of reasons that you might not. But as this lady started talking to me about it, I just felt on the inside compassion rise up. First, talking in our little entrance foyer there, I said, come on in. Let me show you what we can do as far as space. Showed her, and then she brought in the family waiting in two cars and went through all that. Anyway, that night, after saying yes, got Lori on board, and she says it was the right thing to do and all that too. But that night, when I laid my head down to pray, go to sleep that night, I said, Lord, you sent us people, you know. And the Lord said to me, you showed compassion on them. I said, yeah, Lord. I felt that compassion for them. I could tell Lori again when we met with them later, they were so thankful. Anyway, the Lord said, you showed compassion to those people. I said, yeah, Lord. He said, that pleased me very much, that you'd show compassion. Amen. It was a good feeling. You don't do that for a feeling. I know that my love walk was working. Went from 25 to 100 people were here. It's almost always the case. People think, yeah, there'll be 25 here. Well, we're learning. You better triple that. Had that happen for you too. We didn't. We talked about a few, and we filled up this place. That was Monday night. Those people were grateful and blessed and ministered to. I won't tell all of the story further, but I'm believing for a family or two. Amen. Might like to come to church here. Amen. And so I'm believing for them. Amen. Amen. Showing compassion, loving the way Jesus loved. Jesus never turned anybody away. Now, he gave them some loving instruction sometimes. Mm-hmm. Before you do that with somebody, ask, are you the one that's supposed to do that? Right. Like, you know, you might not go correcting somebody else's family. It's not your family. But that kind of thing, it's not your place. But if it is your place, you know, you might bring some truth in love to individuals. So we see here from Jesus, his words here, we're to operate in a new way under a new commandment. And then when he says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, Jesus is saying this, by how we operate, people will know which kingdom we're in. Now, I'm sure you've been like me. You've watched some Christians and some believers, and you've watched how they operate, and there's confusion. Which kingdom are you in? Don't confuse people by how you operate. And I don't think that there's anything stronger towards reaching other people for Christ than a love walk. Amen. Amen. Remember, Jesus didn't command us to go witnessing. He said, be witnesses. What we do is more important than what we say. So how we operate, people will know which kingdom we're a part of. Walking in love keeps us in the realm of God, in the realm of blessing. There's no blessing in the other realm. It's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has no blessing. Oh, he may relent. Some people financially, they may acquire a lot of wealth, even though they're living in the wrong kingdom. That can happen, but it's not a blessing. It is only stepping out of love, stepping out of the realm of love that can bring harvest from the other realm. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to get to a bold statement here. Then I'm going to show you from the scripture. then you're going to have to realize none of us have accomplished this, but the Scripture's right, and we're wrong. Inside the realm of God, inside the realm of love, walking in love, the enemy can't touch us. Walking inside the realm of God, we are untouchable. Jesus was untouchable. And in his temptation, he was very careful to stay in his realm. If he would have crossed over into any kind of doing, as the devil said, he would have been touchable. Remember, Jesus said, "No one takes my life, I lay it down." Jesus was untouchable. The reason he was untouchable is he walked in perfect love of God for the Father. He wouldn't say anything unless the Father said it, wouldn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. So Jesus walked perfectly in love, the same love that's been poured out in us. And as long as he did, he was untouchable. If we would walk perfectly in the love of God, we would be untouchable to the enemy. He couldn't touch our finances. He couldn't touch our bodies. He couldn't touch our families. He couldn't touch anything. Now, having said that, I don't know anybody that's achieved it. And it can be a hard pill to swallow. You mean the enemy got to me here. That means I stepped out somewhere, somehow? Yes, that's what that means. And only pride will balk at that. So I've been stolen from. I've been harmed. The enemy has touched me, touched my life. Did that happen just, well, it happened. No, somewhere I was not staying perfectly in the boundaries of the love of God. That may be hard to take, but it's true. I could expound on that and really make a case for it from the Scriptures. Don't operate or walk in the other realm. That's where fear is. That's where worry is. That's where unkindness is. That's where lack is. That's where defeat of every kind is in the other realm. You've been transferred. You've been translated, been conveyed into a new kingdom, a new realm. We have no business walking in the wrong realm. And you know us, sometimes we want to see what can we get away with. And we may fail to operate in the full love toward God and get away with it and get away with it and get away with it, and then we don't get away with it. Sometimes it takes time and things show up. Whenever we act like others act, we're in the wrong realm. Act like Jesus did. When we act like Jesus, we're in the right realm and then untouchable. Let's actually go see it. I'll show you. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Boy, already that's like, huh?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Keeps himself where? In the right realm, in the right kingdom. Keeps himself walking in divine love, not man's love. So if he says keeps himself, it's possible to not keep yourself. Again, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We can be untouchable to financial lack, sickness and disease in our bodies, failed relationships. Now, relationships do take two, and maybe there's something to be said about that, but we can be untouchable as far as the enemy. Even if you read the book of Job, you'll see that Lucifer, Satan, appeared before God and had to probe for an opening. And when that opening was discovered, he was touchable. God put limitations on that touch. But if that Satan complained to God, "You've put a hedge around him. I can't get to him." Do you know if you'll walk in love, God puts a hedge around you and Satan can't get to you? Jesus announced that he saw Satan, and Satan has nothing on him or nothing in him. Jesus is talking about he kept himself in the right realm, in the love of God, and he was untouchable. Well, if we've been touched, there was an opening. And if there was an opening, we got to close that opening. We got to make that correction. If we want to be relieved of how he touched us, we've got to close the opening where he came in. That's the role of repentance and humility, correcting ourselves to walk in love. I don't know. I got to think on that a while. How about you? I could be untouchable. Now, you just look at the lives of believers that you know, and some walk in very little blessing, and some walk in all kinds of blessing. It's not God choosing who's going to have blessing and who's not, because the blessing has been bestowed to all. It's some are keeping themselves better than others. And I'm not here to throw stones at anybody. There's been holes I've been gotten to. I've suffered some losses. How about you? Everyone has suffered some losses. But yet it remains, if I'll close those openings, I'll make restitution, repentance, reconcile. The Bible always seeks to reconcile. Reconciliation is always the goal. If you'll do some of those things, as much as is in you, as one of the scriptures says, that door closes and we can reverse the curse. We can reverse the harm. And it may take a while and all of that. And so I suppose I'll just go ahead and mention what everybody thinks. You mean, Pastor Sandy, that was an opening? Doesn't it just about have to be? I know it wasn't God. It wasn't the Lord. Well, what was that opening? I don't know if I'll know specifically, not important. Walk in love now, today. Just to state the obvious, well, was it her? Was it me? Was it we? I don't know, but I'm going to apply everything I have to walking in love and seeing this reversed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we act like Jesus, we're in the right realm. Only someone of his nature, only someone with the born-again nature of God can do this. If you're not born again, filled with the Spirit of God and that filled with that divine love, that love being poured out by the Spirit, that's what I'm trying to say. If you're not, you can't do it. Can't do this in human strength. You can only do it by the love of God that's already in us. Acts 17, 28, please. For in him we live and move and have our being. We'll leave the rest of that off for now. In him we live and move and have our being. We could say it this way. In him we live and move in love. It's by staying in him, by staying aware, conscious, on your heart, on your mind, in him. Jesus is my standard. What would Jesus do? That's how we live. That's how we move. We move in love. Christians have no business operating in human love. If you're doing the best you can, you're missing it. If we say, well, I'm trying, that's not the standard. That's the wrong kingdom. That's not the realm. Frowning on that one a little bit, that's pretty strong, isn't it? That's the standard, Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you I kept it perfectly, but I'm telling you it's the standard. Amen. Christians have no business operating in human love. It quits. It is deeply flawed. To compare your love walk to another man's, in other words, I think I'm doing pretty good. You should see so-and-so. I can always find somebody that's operating a little better than you think you are. The Bible says he who compares themselves among themselves is not wise. It's not wise. To compare your love walk to another man's, you can always find someone better. You can always find someone worse. Well, at least I'm not like him. That's where it's at. At least you're not like him. I should be happy. Can we throw you a party? To compare your love walk to another man's is utter self-deception and self-excusing. We are champions at excusing ourselves. Well, I think I'm doing pretty good understanding, you know, the circumstances here. And, well, you know them, how they are. And I know God wouldn't expect that of me. I mean, I'm just not that way. That's self-excusing. That's failure to love. It doesn't bring blessing. It prevents it. James 2:8, please. James 2:8 says, starts with the biggest word in the Bible, if. We like to throw away the ifs, but they're there. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Saying it in reverse order, or phrasing it as a question, how do you do well? Loving others. Now he's mentioning love your neighbor as yourself. We know the standard is more than that. Here's the thing. If you'll walk in divine love, you will do well. Sometimes we talk about people financially. Oh, he's really doing well for himself, right? If someone is healed and strong, and they're like Pastor Sandy, you look at their face and they don't look as old as they are, right? Aging well. Oh, they're doing well. You're doing well. So-and-so is doing well. How do you do well? Love. Love will bring about doing well. And we do well if we walk in divine love. I dare say, anywhere we are not doing well, we are failing in our love walk. Anywhere we're not doing well, we're failing in our love walk. Now, when we walk by faith and we walk in love, there can be a time period between releasing faith, qualifying in love, and things set in motion, and actually having that blessing in your hand. So that does happen. But anywhere where over time, consistently, again and again and again, just not doing well in that area, just not doing well in that area, there's a problem in the love walk somewhere. You talking about me, Pastor Dan? I'm talking about all of us. Yes. I'm talking about me. And I know it applies to you too. Anyone who says, well, that's not true of me. I've done nothing to deserve this. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to say, to cry out, even scream and yell, this beautiful lady didn't deserve this. And in a sense, that's true. Years ago, the Lord gave me some insight, and I had a particular person that happened to be a husband and wife, and the wife was going on about shortcomings of her husband, and I deserve, and it just rose up strong inside me. Couldn't say it to her. She couldn't have received it, but no, what you deserve is hell. That's what you deserve. So let's not talk about what you deserve. And I learned right then and there that I don't talk that way. I deserve this. No, what I deserved is hell. What I'm receiving is not hell. And anything I receive, I don't deserve it. I've been given a covenant where he has made it mine. And since it's made mine, I'm going to have it. I intend to pursue it and have it. So anyone who says, I don't deserve this, that's pride. And they're saying that the words that Jesus spoke don't apply to them. They're saying that the word of God doesn't apply to me. I didn't deserve this. Oh, yeah, you did. You sure did. And here and there have shocked a couple of people. Deserve, what you deserve is hell. Now let's talk about what you want, not what you deserve, and how to get what you want. Somewhere we have stepped out of love. And wherever we have stepped out of love, we can step back into love. Amen. And wherever blessing's not working, we can turn that around. We can reverse that. And if you see somebody and you just see blessing, blessing, blessing all over them, you know what they're doing? They're walking in divine love. You see somebody that's just easy to receive and blessing, and man, they got it going on, and it's working. I have a measure of that. Not everywhere where I'm going to be, but I have a measure of that. I used to do that thing, you know, with my fingers, W instead of L. I'm a winner, not a loser. How do I get there? Walking in love. Loving God. And when he says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves, to love God means I assemble. As just a for instance. So it's easy to get back in the right place, but not if you won't even recognize you're in the wrong place. So just know this today, you have been moved. You're in a new kingdom. You're under a new set of laws, rules. It works by love. And you want to see blessing in your life? Walk in divine love, not human love, divine love. And just always have your heart, your prayer, your time with God, your reading of the scriptures, just always open before him. How can I change or improve? Where do I need to change? Where do I need to improve? What do I need to do to walk in love? You're going to be surprised because there's going to be little things that come up and you go, what, that? That was not walking in love? But if you'll be honest in your heart, the Lord will show you and you'll see some amazing things turn around with the slightest change of heart attitude or action. You just start recognizing how dangerous it is. I mean, I was convicted this week when I'm driving. I can't say, you idiot driver. What am I going to say now? Bless you in Jesus' name. I mean, maybe that one's pretty obvious, but you're going to be surprised. It may be something like when you answered that person, you had no enthusiasm in it. And that seems pretty stupid and pretty small. What? That? That's all it takes. And as you grow in the Lord, the window of what you get away with gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Jesus operated under a zero tolerance policy for himself. If he would have erred in the slightest with temptation with the enemy, we would have no hope. So as you grow, this is where Pastor Sandy, well, I don't want to hear no more teaching from the Bible. I don't want to know another thing because now I'm going to be responsible for it. No, you do want to be responsible. You do want to grow. You do want to learn. You want to see these things and make adjustments. And sometimes it'll be tiny things, but they matter. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you and thank you for this word today. And may we grow thereby. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.